go. Take your Bibles, if you would, please. Let's go to Exodus 29. Exodus 29. Amen. Exodus 29. And pick up at verse 35. Always remember, whatever you're going through, somebody's probably going through it, something worse. It'll help. Exodus 29, verse 35. And thus shalt thou do unto Aaron and to his sons, according to all things which I have commanded thee. 7 days shalt thou consecrate them. And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement. And thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it. And thou shalt anoint it, and to sanctify it. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar, and sanctify it, and it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. Thank you, Father, for your word. Instruct us, help us, and guide us this morning. Father, we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. A couple of things real quick just to bring up to you. Mark right now, if you would, please, July the 16th on your calendar. July the 16th. And I'll try to keep reminding you of that. July the 16th, we're going to have something we're going to do for all the couples in the church. If you're married, then this is for you. But not children. We're going to try to work out some arrangements for children being taken care of. But this is just going to be for the couples. We've got something special we're going to be doing July the 16th. So go ahead and please mark that down if you can. Work your plans around it if possible. Something special we're going to be doing. I won't give you all the details right now, but it'll be a special time we're going to have for all the couples. Second thing, we thank the Lord for the new water cooler we got back there. Let's just take kids. Let your parents get you the water. Okay? I'll tell you what, I'll just kind of off the top like this. Kids, look here. Let your parents get the water for you. All right? Because we don't need the cups wasted. We don't need the water cooler torn to pieces. And so, kids, look here. Let your parents get you the water. So, now listen, don't anybody get offended if your child is getting water out of that thing and somebody says, well, I say anything. Don't get offended, because we don't need the water cooler tore up, don't need water all over the floor, and don't need the cups tore all to pieces. I tell you what, I'll go this route with it. If you're 10 and under, if you're 10 and under, let your parents get you water. That'll be safe. And if you're 10 and under, let your parents get the water for you, and we'll play it safe like that. We'll have a cutoff on that thing right there. Let your parents get you water for you, and that way we'll take and avoid any kind of thing like that right there. Say, well, Brother Dawson, my child's two, and I think he can really waddle up and... No, I think we'll do it right there. Exodus 29, verse 35. Brother, listen, the Bible says this. The Bible says, and thus shalt thou do unto Aaron and to his sons, according to all things which I have commanded thee. 7 days shalt thou consecrate them. Notice what it says. We've seen earlier in this chapter how that there were different sacrifices offered. They had the holy garments they were to put on. We've seen the heave offering and the wave shoulder and the heave breast and such as that. But now we see this, we get to this part in the passage, and they were to be consecrated 7 days. It says, thus shalt thou do unto Aaron and to his sons according to all things which I have commanded thee. 7 days shalt thou consecrate them. Take your Bible, go to Leviticus 8, and we'll see it a little bit more in depth in Leviticus 8. Leviticus chapter 8. Leviticus 8, verse 33. Leviticus 8, verse 33. The Bible says this. And ye shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation in 7 days. Until the days of your consecration be at an end. Leviticus 8:33. For 7 days shall he consecrate you. And as he hath done this day, so the Lord hath commanded to do, to make an atonement for you. Therefore shall ye abide at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation day and night 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord, that ye die not. For so I am commanded. Brethren, for 7 days, day and night, they were to not to go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They were to remain there for 7 days and seven nights. They couldn't go out. There were days of consecration to them. And if they didn't observe this, if they didn't observe this 7 days and seven nights of consecration to keep the charge of the Lord, they'd have died. All right? Now, brother, look, the word consecrate means to make or declare to be sacred by certain ceremonies or rites. It means to appropriate to sacred uses. It means to set apart, to dedicate or devote to the service and worship of God. Those are priests. And brethren, they were to be consecrated, set apart, dedicated, devoted to the service of God. If you're saved, the Bible says you are a priest, a believer priest. You and I, brethren, are to be consecrated, set apart, devoted to God 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year.
That's good.
All right, brethren? Listen, brethren, 7 days of consecration. Brethren, you and I need 7 days of consecration in our lives. 7 days of dedication and devotion. Sunday through Saturday, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, through all the years of your life. This morning in Sunday school, we saw how that Eli the priest went about his ceremonial duties. He lit the light of the golden candlestick. He went about his ceremonial duties, but he did not perform his spiritual and moral duties. Brethren, there's many folks that across this land, maybe here this morning, I hope not, but there's many folks across this land, they'll come in, brethren, they'll do the ceremonial observances, they'll pray, they'll sing, they'll maybe ask a blessing on the food during the week, they'll go through ceremonial observances, but there's no consecrated devotion to God. Brethren, it's not supposed to be a Saturday night sinner and a Sunday morning saint. 7 days a week, day and night, 52 weeks a year, all the years of your life, consecrated to God. If you're saved, if you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you belong to God, you're to be consecrated, devoted to His use, His purposes, 7 days a week. Brethren, listen. Not just Sunday. They were not to go out of the door of that tabernacle for 7 days. Not just Sunday, but on Tuesday, on Friday, on Monday, on Thursday, on Saturday. Every day. Brethren, listen, it's not supposed to be a thing of you leave here and then you let your guard down. It's not that you're consecrated every day of the week, but hey, Saturday's a different day. It's not that you're consecrated every day, but you know, hey, this is Friday. Every day of the week should be the same for you as far as your dedication and your devotion and your service to God. It's not like, well, I need to get ready, I need to get myself together, you're going to go to church. No. You're a saint of God. If you're born again, Christ abides within you, you're blood bought, you belong to God every hour, second of the day through the rest of your life. And we're to be consecrated to His purposes. Brother, look here. They were to be there at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and not to come out for 7 days. You need to be separated from this world 7 days a week. Brother Doss, what are you talking about? They were supposed to leave the tabernacle of the congregation. You tell me I'm not supposed to go out in the world? I'm telling you that you're supposed to be in this world, but not of this world. 7 days a week. Take your Bible, go to John 17. John 17, verse 15. Brethren, John 17, verse 15, the Bible says this, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying to the Father, and He says this in verse 15. He says, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't pray that those disciples and you and I would be taken out of the world. That'll happen soon enough. That'll happen soon enough. Lord, take us out by way of the grave or by way of the rapture. Until that point, He doesn't want us taken out of here. How in the world are you going to touch people's lives and help them and let them see the difference in you unless you're around them? You've got to be here in this world. He just prayed that they and you and I believe also are in that prayer, would be kept from evil. That we'd be kept from evil, all right? Brethren, look here, we'd be kept from the evil. We've got to be out there and around these things in this world, but to be separate and different from it. Brethren, that doesn't mean that you... Listen, brethren, I don't believe, according to that Bible, that God would have any man or woman get them a place and go off somewhere in the country somewhere and isolate themselves. I'll never believe you can find that in the Bible. I'd just like to find me a place somewhere in the mountains, just raise my family. I don't believe in the will of God to do that. Ever. I don't find that. God has sent you out to this world to try to tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ so they can see the difference in your life. Alright? Now, brethren, look here. You pull off and isolate like that, you can't do that. You can't do that. Because you're not going to be able to help anybody come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, yeah, but all the things in life. Listen, you can be in this world without being a part of it. You can be in this world, brethren, but you don't have to fellowship with it. You don't have to go to every place there is out there. You don't have to do and be a part of everything that there is. You can be in this world and yet be separate from it. I'll give you some more examples. Go to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. Well, I was somewhere the other day and they had the radio on. And I heard them say that they're going to legalize tattooing, I guess, now here in South Carolina. And boy, don't you know it's really going to be something now. And you know what? The guy that I heard on the speaker on the radio said this. Now, I'm sure he's not. I would say he probably wouldn't be saved. He said this. He said, you know, he said, I can't help but think these people are going to, there's a lot of these women, there's people going to do that. And they're going to hit about 30, 40 years from now, something like that, you know, and boy, they're going to regret they done that thing right there. And that ain't no joke, you know. And so listen, look at it, but it's the thing to do. It's the thing to do. But I tell you what, there's people that are losing their minds, man. They're losing their minds. There's a gentleman that we knew back home. I knew him a little bit, didn't know real good, but my family knew him pretty good. He's 50 years old. He dropped dead last week. Had blood clots in his leg, and they couldn't get him stopped. And he allergic to the medicine they gave him, and he dropped dead. And I'm going to tell you something. I saw a picture of him somewhere not too long ago. And man, he had gone. I mean, he was active in his church and this, that, and the other like that. You know, I don't know if he's saved or not. But you know what? Evidently, from what the picture I saw, he had got one of them barbed wire, them kind of tattoos that goes right around. And I thought, man, what are you doing? You're 50 years old, man. You're old enough to be a grandpa. What are you doing? Where's your mind gone now? I mean, brother, you know, in youth, all right, people do things when they're lost and in youth, you know, that, okay. But you know, man, look here. If you profess to know God, okay, and you're supposed to have some age on you, know a little better. You know what I'm saying, brother? This, it gets crazy, all right? But listen, you can be around this world, but this world is not supposed to put the touch and the taint on you. This world shouldn't be affecting you. You should be making an effect on the world. Look here, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, the Bible says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." He says, come out from among them and be ye separate. We're to be different. Listen, if Christ is in you, you are different. You are different. You'll never be the same. This world is supposed to see that. They need to see that. They're dying to see that. And I submit to you, they want to see that. They're looking for something that really is real. They want to see that. Man, brethren, you're the only really original person in this world is a saved person. Everybody else isn't original. They just follow right along. That what's been done always has been done. There's nothing new under the sun. And same old stuff. I mean, man, save your clothes. It'll come back in style 10, 15 years again down the line. That is a fact. That is a fact. You know, man, the tie-dye stuff, all that stuff. I mean, it all comes back. The only original free-thinking person, really, is a saved, born-again, Bible-believing Christian. That's the only person who really thinks for themselves. Man, if you're lost, you ain't thinking for yourself. Devil's doing your thinking for you. And fad and fashion and this world's doing your thinking for you. No. Take your Bible. Go to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. Check this out. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, check this out, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Now, we're not talking about biblical cosmology this morning. We're not talking about gap theories, nothing like that. I just noticed something. I just like this. The earth, the Bible says, was in the water and was out of the water and in the water. And you know what? That's the way you're supposed to be. In this world, but out of it. Man, you can be out of this world and yet in it. The earth was standing out of the water and in the water. I want to tell you something, brethren. You, as a believer, can be out of this world, though in this world. And that's how it's supposed to be. Be in this world, but yet out of it. And not a part of it. And set the standard. And let the folks in this world see a difference. And brethren, the Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We read it this morning. But rather reprove them. It's not enough to say, well, I don't do that or not participate. The Bible tells you to go further than that. The Bible says reprove it. I'll give you an example. Like I said, I won't go over the whole thing again, but I brought it up this morning in Sunday school. So somebody asks you to participate in something that you know you can't in good conscience do that. If you don't do it, they'll just think, you know what they'll think about you? If you don't do it without reproving it or giving an answer when required to, they'll think, well, I guess he's just kind of a loner and don't like stuff like this. They need to know it's because of Jesus Christ. They need to know. I also just think, well, that's just you. You kind of like that. No, they need to know it's because of Christ and what He's done for you and because of biblical principles. But you got to prove what's wrong. But if you don't stand against things that are wrong, if you don't, they will encroach on you. I'm telling you that if you're not crying out against it, you'll become a part of it. You won't think you will, but you will. Like the man that for years stood and railed outside of his city. And somebody said, you've been doing this for 15, 20 years. Don't you know that I'm going to believe? No, I'm going to listen to you. He goes, I know that now. He goes, I know that. He says, I'm no longer crying out really to change anybody. I'm just kind of keep from them changing me now. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're not offensively minded, once you retreat back to defense, you're just about cooked and gone, man. You're just about cooked and gone. You know, the saint of God is to be offensively minded. All right? Taking and going forward and exposing. I mean, the Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reproving. Exposing. And standing against what's wrong in this world. And telling folks the gospel of Jesus Christ. My brethren, look here. Again. There's so many people, they're making professions of faith, but I don't know what God's... They say they're saved, but rather I don't know what God's saving them from. They still just live like hell and the devil. They do, brethren. I mean, just bad work. But what's the Lord saved them from? Man, the Lord saved me. He saved me from some things. Man, He saved me to heaven. Saved me to service. He saved me from hell. Saved me from sin. Saved me from myself. From pride. He saved me from some things. I spoke today, man. You know they're saved, and this that, and the other, and I tell you something, brethren. Your Bible tells you about it, and I believe we're in that time. There's another gospel, man. There's another spirit. There's another thing going on. Things aren't being presented in truth, brethren. And I think we're seeing the results of it. God forbid, brethren, that you and I let it creep in on us. Be in this world, yet not of it, and a part of it. That means what you look at, what you read, what you watch, what you do, brethren. Listen, there are things that are conducive to helping you draw nigh to God, and there are things that are conducive and helping you draw nigh to this world. And you need to have the sensitivity to the Spirit of God and the character enough to say, Lord, this is not drawing me close to You. This is not doing me any good. And get yourself around the things of God. I said it this morning in Sunday school, brethren. Look here. You know, carbon monoxide, and y'all bear with me, those of you here. Carbon monoxide is a gas that you can't see, smell, nothing. And you know what? Once you get to breathing carbon monoxide, you just kind of... out you go. It's out. You can never smell it. You never see it. Just put you to sleep till it kills you. But you know what? It's like so much of professing Christianity today. It's going to just go to sleep. This is like, just like, nothing matters, anything goes, you know, whatever. But you need to, the Bible says twice in Romans and Ephesians to wake out of sleep. But to shake off that lethargic state. Have you ever found yourself kind of lethargic, kind of, you know, you've got to shake yourself sometimes to get yourself going. Brethren, you need to do that yourself spiritually. Wake yourself up. You know what? You know what? You know what Paul says in Romans and Ephesians? He said, awake. He told the church to do that. You know what you mean the saints want to do? They want to go, wake me up. Wake me up. Lord, wake me up. If you know you need to be woken up, you need to get up. You know what I'm saying? Listen, if you've got enough wit about you to realize I need to be woken up, you can get up. You can get up. Can you imagine laying in bed and saying, wake me up, honey. Honey, wake me up. You need to be kicked. You need cold water doused on you and say, get up. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Look, can you imagine? Can you imagine being a grown person? Being a grown, you know, and saying, I need somebody to wake me up. I need somebody to wake me up. If you know you need to get up, get up. You know, there comes a time in your life, that it's no longer, wake up, dear. Wake up, honey. It's morning. Wake up. You know, there's a time where you got to get up. You know, you got to get up. You got to take and set yourself and say, you know, I got to go to work. I got to get up. The alarm clock goes off and it can't be, you know, and kill that thing. You got to get up. You got to get up. And you're like, well, will you wake me up? Will you get me up? That's kind of bad. You know, I mean, I know sometimes we need somebody, but you know what I'm saying, brother. The point I'm making to you is if you know you need to get up, you can get up. But if our attitude to the Lord is, Lord, I wish you'd wake me up, and God, I just think, well, get up, well, wake up. The Bible commands, awake thou that sleepest. That's not, wait on God to wake you up. It says, hey, you're wake up. Brethren, we that? Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Every day, listen, I'm going to probably do something here real soon. A little different. But I mentioned carbon monoxide. I found out something yesterday also about fire. And this is from firefighters. You know what they said about fire? The one thing you do not have in a fire is time. You do not have time. There's no time. You have no time in a fire. None. If you think you've got time, you're dead. You're dead. I was shocked how quick fire moves. I was shocked that they said if a fire starts in your house, guess how long you've got to get it out? 30 seconds. If you don't get it out in 30 seconds, they said you better get out of that house. If you can't get the fire out by either a fire extinguisher, baking soda, or something like that, if you don't get it out in 30 seconds, they said drop and run. You're done. You can't go, forget it. They interview people. How long do you think you got? Well, 10 minutes. This, that, and the other. He said, you got 30 seconds. You know what? It's exactly how people do about eternity and things of God. I got time. You ain't got no time. You know what you got? You got right now. Let me say something. You are a fool if you think I'm going to get myself right someday. You're a fool. I love you. You're a fool. You know what you've got right now? Well, no, Brother Dawson, no. When things can get, you're crazy. You've got right now. You are playing into the devil's hand. You have right now. In other words, listen, any time in your life when you realize I'm not right, I got to get something right, you do it now. The devil wants you to play on. You got time to get saved. You got time to get something right. You got time to get this thing. You've got. You do not have. You do not have tomorrow. You do not have. You got right now. If there's something in your life that's not right, get it right. But I'm not talking about the will of God for you. Man, God's will for you, God don't mind you checking that out. I'm talking about when you got something that ain't right, that you need to confess, repent, all that, you got right now. Get right. But there's, you say, but no, no buts. Brother, don't you ever forget this. If you're doing wrong, you stop and you do right. Always. It is not that simple. Yes, it is. I didn't say it was that easy, but it is that simple. Brother, we have been invaded today. The church has been invaded by psychology and by psychiatry and by things to where, brother, it's just simple a matter of, brother, when we are in sin, we recognize it and we stop sinning. And when you sin again, you get it under the blood of Jesus and pick up and go on forward. The Bible says, whoso confesseth and forsaketh in Proverbs. You confess it, but you forsake it. If it's wrong, drop it now. Well, I'm waiting on what? Better circumstances ain't going to happen. God to deal with you, if you understand it's wrong, there's the dealing. I'm serious, brother. This kind of, and let me tell you something, brother. Don't kid yourself and don't fool yourself and don't mess yourself up eternally by thinking that, I have a problem or a mistake. Or, no, you got sin. Because sin. But let me tell you something, brother. Look here. In my life or in your life, don't you ever forget this. Anything that goes on in my life or your life that is not right is because we don't want to often let go of our sin. Now, rather than stretch you out on a couch and they can talk to you this way and talk to you that way and blame your mama and everything else and you'll come out feeling kind of good and everything, but it won't help you when you face that pillow and you're alone at night.
Right.
I mean, it's brutally simple, but there it is. It's sin and you decide to finally get the point, I hate this, that's it, and I'm, God, I confess the sin and I drop it. You know what Jesus said? Jesus Christ said, this is the condemnation. Jesus Christ said, this is the condemnation. He told us why men go to hell. He said, this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They love their sin. Do you know why the Bible says that those people over there in tribulation time that we can see are going to take and accept that mess? Do you know why they're going to believe a lie and be damned? They have pleasure in unrighteousness. Brethren, the reason people reject Jesus Christ is they love their sin. They have pleasure in unrighteousness. You get a saint that's messed up and ain't going to do it, it's loving sin more loving God. Brethren, that's brutally simple, but it is a fact. And brethren, you can't play around with this kind of thing. Look here. Brethren, take your Bible just a minute. Go back to, we'll go to Romans 8 just a minute. Go to Romans 8. Some of them folks that believe you can lose your salvation. And I know, brother, and I was raised on some of that stuff. What happens is, they can't handle the consequences of sin in their life, so everything becomes a mistake. Everything becomes a mistake. I told my dad one time, I said, you know, mistake. Come on, man. They're sitting there puffing away, destroying their lungs. You know, I don't sin, I make mistakes. Really, I don't sin, I make mistakes. Oh, come on, man. That's sin. You know, it's not mistakes. It's sin. You want to get help with something? Call it what it is. It's sin. Listen, brother, with God, you don't play that stuff. No excuses, no nothing, no. Listen, brother, let me explain something to you. Do you know everybody in this world has a story to tell? Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a background. Everybody's got junk. Do you realize in that Bible, God don't play around with that stuff? God says, it don't matter about you. If it's sin, it's sin. Alright? You confess it, you forsake it, and you show God you mean business. Quit. Immediately. You don't wait around for some big emotion or this and another. If it's wrong, you drop it, you get right, you do right. And you strive and you kick and you fight and you do the best you can and you show God you mean business. And you want to do right. You want to do right. I don't care. Romans 8. You know what happened? If those priests didn't keep the charge of the Lord, if those 7 days, if they didn't keep the charge of the Lord and went out there and didn't keep that charge, they'd die. Moses said that you die not. Romans 8, look at verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Now, he's talking saints. Man, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Brethren, as a saint, there is death for a believer. You know that, right? I'm not talking about spiritual death. I'm talking about physical death. The Bible gives examples of it. You take out here and you go your own way. Let me tell you some God's long suffering. I know he is because we're all still sitting here. But you play around. You play around and you play around with that thing and you go on and you go on. There's life become a point God says, you're done. But I know some people use that to try to get people to walk around, you know, all, you know, like keep them scared to death to living for God. But brethren, living for God should be because of love and fear, both. Both. God needs to be feared. He's a holy God. He is not to be trifled with. God is not to be trifled with. Brethren, you go around here and you go your own way and you do what you want to do. God has every right to, and I believe the Bible shows, will take you out. Now here's the problem. Here's the problem. A lot of times say, well, what's the problem with that? You go into heaven. Yeah, but look, again, I submit to you, look what you went home under. Your Bible tells you that you and I are ambassadors for Christ. Okay? Now, I'll give you this example before. Let's suppose we got an ambassador from the United States over in France. And word gets back to us that he is over there embarrassed in the United States of America. Who knows? Maybe he's a Christian and living right. Maybe that would be an embarrassment today. I mean, really, really, you have to wonder what would be an embarrassment today. Honestly. You know, 50 years ago, if he was out there whoring around and getting drunk all the time, that would be an embarrassment. I don't know if it would be today. Probably the only thing that would be an embarrassment today is that he's living for God over there. But anyway, let's suppose you got an ambassador that, you know, and he's living right. I mean, living wrong. He's whoring around, man. He's just drinking. He's just obnoxious. He's an embarrassment. He's not obeying our orders. You know what we're going to do? We're not going to take and say, you are no longer an American citizen. You can't come to the United States anymore. No. We're going to call him home and say, you know what? You have lost. You are no longer an ambassador for us. Come on back. He's got to come home disgraced. But what a thing, man, for a child of God to come home disgraced. To come home disgraced. But look here. If you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. I honestly believe there was a time in my life that if I had kept going the way I was going, God was going to take me out. I firmly believe that with all my heart and soul. I believe that. I believe if I had kept going, God gave me some real serious, serious warnings. Big time. Big time. And I believe if I had not heeded that and gone the way I kept on the way I was going, I believe with all my heart he would have took me on out. Yes, I was saved. But brother, I'm going to tell you something. I believe he would have took me out for the way I was going. Don't trifle with the Lord. I thank God for his mercy and grace. I dare thank God for his mercy. God has been good to me and God's been good to y'all. I don't know about that, Brother Doss. I won't call you idiot. I'll just say you're being a fool. I won't call you idiot. There's a part of me wants to cry out and say that if you think God ain't been good to you, your head is not screwed on straight. Did you know what would happen to you? Do you know what would happen to you if God took His hand of grace off you right now? Come on, where is your head? Do you know what would happen to you? You're sunk. If God took His hand off your life right now, you're done. You're done. God told Belshazzar, He said, look, He said, the God in whose hand thy breath is thy honor. He said, your breath is in the hand of God. Brethren, you're alive right now. You are breathing right now because God Almighty in heaven is gracious to you. You got up this morning and you drove to church and you didn't have a wreck this morning because God was gracious to you. And if you've had a wreck, you ain't dead because God was gracious to you. And if you had a wreck and got hurt, it's because He knows best. He's trying to get your attention. He always does right. And He's holding you up. And if He wasn't, man, one time I was laying at home sick in bed, and I mean, I was sick, and something was going on, and it hit me. I thought, man, I mean, I was sick, man. I was sick in bed. I couldn't get up. And I thought, my goodness, Lord, what if you took your hand off right now? One of the youngins is liable to take and kill herself and fall out through the window, you know, and cut herself to pieces, and Sarah's liable to maybe catch herself, neglect you. I mean, there's all kinds of things that could happen. And I thought, I'm laying here and can't get up. I thought, Lord, you're good. You're good. God's taking care of you. And you need to be thankful to Him. Get off. And listen. It is from hell anything that will ever get in your mind to get you to think God ain't done you right. You understand me? Let me ask you something. Before you think that God's done you right, are you willing to look up into heaven and tell God that you've always done Him right? Are you willing to tell God that you deserve better treatment? Come on. You're a bastion of faithfulness, aren't you? You're just a fort of faithfulness and goodness to God, aren't you? You just live for God so much. I mean, you read your Bible every day. You come to church all the time. You'd be like, you're just a bastion of self, of righteousness, aren't you? Get out of here. We're riding on grace and mercy.
Right.
And you better realize that God's good to you and proclaim how good He is and get off your stuff. And get some joy back in your life by realizing how good God is. Get off you and your problems. Most of the problems me and you got, we cause.
Right, right.
And if not, God's still good by hell trying to help us out. Come on now. You going to look at heaven and tell God you deserve better treatment? I don't think so. If you've got that kind of attitude, honestly, you need to wonder if you've ever known God. He's good to you. He's been mighty good to all of us. Anybody listen to this tape, He's been good to. Listen, folks, we need to be thankful and appreciative of Him. He's got us right here. We're living. But you know what? I want to tell you something. You go on. You persist. You try something with God. The Bible says, look here, if you live out of the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, you can't do it on your own, through God's Spirit, if ye through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body. To mortify means to put to death, to destroy. Listen, you can't on your own, but through the Spirit, you can mortify the deeds of the body. Ye shall live. I'm trying, Brother Doss. Oh, stop! No, you're not. And I'm not really half the time neither. God help me and have mercy on me. No, you're not. I'll prove it to you. Go to Hebrews 12. No, you're not. Half time, but half people profess the salvation and so spoiled all their life that they don't strive against sin and they're, I'm trying. I'm not trying. Get off it. Most time you're not trying. And I have tried to be honest enough to God to go to Him and say, God, I don't try hard enough. I'm ashamed of myself. When I get into sin, I've had to say, God, I'm rotten. I'm so ashamed of myself. God, I didn't try hard. Hey, brethren, I've had to go to God. Hey, quicker and closer than what you realize. I've had to say, God, I didn't try. God, I just gave in. I didn't try. You know, there's a part of my flesh want to say, you know, you did, you tried it, just and make excuses. Man, I had to get honest and say, God, there's no excuse. I just was sorry. I did what I wanted to do. I didn't strive against it. Man, you want some help? You need to come clean about what you are and where you at. And don't kid yourself. I'm trying. I'm really trying. Come on, man. Look, Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Man, you got something that's holding you back. Drop it. You got a weight that's keeping you back from serving God. Drop it. Man, drop it. Listen, let's lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now, I've heard that thing said. I've even before said it. Besetting sin. Brother, you know what? I don't believe a believer. I believe sin and period just easily besets us. It may be one thing today and another thing tomorrow. You know what we need to do, brethren? But the Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset. Let me ask you something. Is God going to ask of you or demand of you something you can't do? Is God going to command you to do something you can't do? Never. No, He's not. So guess what? If God tells you to do something, you can through Him. Now, unless you're lost. If you're lost, you can't do it. I'm going to tell you, if you're lost, you can't do it. Brethren, since I've been saved, it ain't been a matter of me can't do. It's been any sin in my life has been a matter of won't do. And I've just had to be honest with God about it, shamefully. I got saved, brethren. I got power to live for God. If you got saved, you did too. It's not a matter of I can. It's a matter of I won't. It's a matter of I'm serious, brethren. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. Your Bible says to you to lay aside every weight and the sin, which does so easily beset us. You can. Look here. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Not looking unto George Bush. Not looking unto Jonathan Doss. Not looking unto any other preacher or anybody else. Not looking unto your husband, wife, friend. Looking unto Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at verse 3. For consider Him. You know what we do? We consider ourselves. We consider our circumstances instead of considering Him. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Look at verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Let's be honest, brethren. Have we resisted yet unto blood, striving against sin? Can we really say we've really striven? God, Lord, help me, God, to do this and do that. I mean, sweat it out and cry it out and God, help me and resist and put up the good fight. Brethren, I know in my life, so many times I've got to confess not just the sin I did, but I've also got to confess my sorry attempt at trying to resist it. I've had to confess to God not just what I did, but I didn't try harder against it. What do you do then, Brother Dawes? Well, I don't let it get me down by God's grace. I accept His forgiveness through the blood of Calvary, what did Jesus Christ shed for me, and get up and go on. What's He going to do to lay there? If I'm still alive, God ain't done with me. What are we to lay there? Get up. March on. That's what the Lord... Hey, Pilgrim's Progress, I like that fellow man that storms in there and write my name down. Just get up. Not timid. Just. All right, look here. Go back just a minute. First to Exodus 29. But what I'm trying to tell you is that we've got a generation that's been produced and it has crept into the church that nobody will stand and manfully take to open their responsibility. It's, let's put it on everything there is under the sun.
Right.
Psychology and psychiatry and everything is so guided as to where it's like, well, anything without to keep from standing there and just taking it. God can deal with our sin through the blood of Calvary, but not excuse. Never, ever. Exodus 29, look here at verse 30. Verse 36. And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement. He's talking about those 7 days. Those 7 days, every day a bullock was to be offered. Look, and thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it. Wow. Make an atonement for the altar. Now see, some of the Bible commentators sometimes will say, well, no, that should read, make an atonement upon it. No, no, no. The Holy Ghost says, for it. And if you need more clarification, let's go on and read verse 37. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify. Wow. An atonement had to be made for the altar. Altars made of dirt and rock and such as that. But an atonement had to be made for the altar. Listen, brethren. Listen. Those 7 days, a bullock was offered. Those 7 days of their consecration. During that same time, atonement was made for the altar. Those bullocks were offered every day, making atonement for the altar. Go to Job 25. Brother Doss, what did that dirt and rock done wrong? Well, that dirt and that rock's like everything else. It's been affected by sin. You know why y'all to ask God to bless your food? Because it's cursed. So I ask God to bless your food. Give thanks for asking to bless it. It's cursed, brother. This is a sin-cursed earth. An atonement had to be made for the altar. Job 25, look at verse 5. Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in His sight. Ain't that something? Yeah, Brother Dawes, you know, the stars, you know, they're kind of inanimate. They're not like man. They're kind of, amen, the stars ain't even pure in God's sight. You see, there's none like God. You understand me? There's none like God. There is none pure and holy as the Lord. No angel is like God. Angels are created beings. They're not God. God, there's none like Him. Take your Bible, go to Romans 8 real quick. Romans 8. What an amazing being God is. Can you imagine having the awesome power of God and yet not having the character of God? We'd be done. To have that power, yet not that character. Isn't it amazing what God does? You know, God could have not made us the free-thinking individuals He made us. You know, God made a creature that's able to think. God, it's amazing, but God made a group of creatures. God made man and gave him the ability to even question the existence of the one who made him. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? What a thing to do, brethren. To make a being that you give it the ability to even question the existence of you who made them. Wow. Why do you do that, Brother Dawes? I'll tell you something, brethren. I believe God's all about freedom of will and choice to be able to express love. Really. God says, I'm going to let you be free to think. You can even question me. Hey, yeah. Be wrong to do it. You're crazy to do it. But you're free. You can do it. And you know what? But He's let our mind and our will be free so we can choose. Do you understand? That's a great gift. One of the greatest gifts God gave us was freedom of will and choice. And freedom of your mind. That's great. Because, brother, look here, without that you can't really love. See, I'll tell you, people say, well, if God's so good, why did this happen to me in life? And why did people do it? God didn't do you bad. People did you bad. God didn't do you bad. People did you bad. Yeah, but well, God could have stopped it. Okay, Mr. Smart Person. All right, yeah, God could have. But if you want God to take away people choosing to do you bad, then also that means they're going to be able to choose to do you good. Because hasn't somebody sometimes done something for you in life that you didn't do, just good to you? Not that people's hurt you, but somebody has done something good for you. Well, you know what? They did it because they wanted to. They chose to do it. Brethren, look here. God gave us a free will to choose. And that means that people choose to do you good and people choose to do you bad. That's the nature of that free choice and will. But you can't show love without that. And also man does not love. And God wants a people who choose to love Him. Brethren, the people that are in heaven choose to be there. They want to be there. They want to be around God. Oh, brethren, most of the world wants to be out of hell. The folks in heaven want to be around God. And there's a difference. There's a difference between just wanting to be out of hell. Those in heaven want to be around God. Brethren, there's many people, brethren, that hate God, but they don't want to go to hell. Those in heaven want to be around God. And they choose that. And God's given us the ability to choose. It's a wonderful thing He's given to us. Romans 8, verse 22, look at this. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. How about that? The whole creation. Brethren, all of creation has been affected by the fall. Do you realize that? Things are out of kilter. Things are out of sorts. All of creation has been affected by the fall. That altar and atonement had to be made for it. Now, go back real quick. Go back to Exodus 29 real quick. Look at verse 37. Exodus 29, verse 37, real quick. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it. And it shall be an altar most holy. Look at this last part. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. Wow. Whatever touched that altar was made holy. So that altar was where you offered sacrifice to God at. At that altar, you offered sacrifice and offering to God. You know, brethren, Christ is our altar. The Bible says, listen, we're supposed to offer up to God spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. You offered things to God on that altar. We offer spiritual sacrifices to God by Christ Jesus. They're acceptable to God in and through Him. But here's what I want to say real quick. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. Man, contact with that altar made something holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. Man, something offered on that altar, something making contact with that altar became holy. Dedicated to God. Okay? Contact with the altar made that thing holy. Listen. Contact with the Lord Jesus has made the church a holy people. You realize that? Contact with the Lord Jesus has made the church a holy people, a holy priesthood. Now listen, just by looking at the altar, think about it. Just by looking at the altar, you couldn't tell it was holy. But it was. Come on, brother. If you look at the altar, you're like, okay. Shaped this way. it's a conglomeration of rocks or soil or whatever, you know. I mean, you know, it's okay. It's, but whatever touched it became holy. That altar was holy. The total of it made for it was sanctified. Just by looking at it, you possibly couldn't tell it, but it was. Listen to me. You knew it was holy. I believe one of the ways you knew it was holy by accepted sacrifice upon it. God accepted the sacrifice offered upon it. Did you know there have been some times in the Bible that God sent fire down and showed He accepted the sacrifice? Brother, let me tell you something. You look at a person's life. You look at a believer. Sometimes a believer doesn't look too much different than the rest of the world. All to be. We all to be a difference. But you know, a believer can offer up service and sacrifice to God and God will accept it. But a lot of times people strive and strive to live for God and live for God and they never get nowhere and they never... Something's wrong. Either they don't know God or they're serving God their own way. Don't you think about it a minute. How come this person can serve God and everything? Why does God accept their service? No. Brethren, either a person doesn't know God or they're serving God their own way. Alright? That altar was holy. One way you knew it, I believe, was by acceptable service on it. Let me tell you something, brethren. That altar, you know, you could... Listen. That altar had to be cleansed. Not that. Not defiled. You could... You know, sometimes the things of God will get defiled. You know, you had to be a cleansing. Let me ask you something. Now, I just got a few more things to go. I'm done. But I really want you to ask yourself this morning. Are you defiled this morning by a spirit of bitterness and resentment? Is God perhaps not accepting the service you offer Him because you've got defilement? You've got bitterness. You've got resentment. There's sin undealt with in your life. Brother, listen. People can be in sin and they'll still try to serve God. Your Bible shows you that. Man, people will be in sin. They'll still try to serve God. Let me tell you something. Could it be that God's not accepting your service? You're hitting a dead end because there's resentment, there's bitterness in your heart, there's undealt with sin. Could it be the case this morning? If it is, why not get it dealt with? My last point is this. The Bible says, whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. Listen. There should be a difference in the people we make contact with. Did you know that? Contact with that altar made something holy. Did you realize? Now, brethren, just because we come in contact with people, that can't save them. But you know what? We should make a difference in their life. People should leave contact with us and they should come away different. They should come away thinking about their soul. They should come away, you know, I don't need to be cussing like I'm cussing. I don't need to be saying what I'm saying. You know, I need to think maybe about going to church. I need to... Really, brethren. And it's not because that you just, you know, preach the sermon to them. But they should... Any contact with our life, they should come away different. They ought to ask us, why don't... You don't cuss, do you? You go to church, don't you? How come... They ought to come away from our life different. Different. I'm telling you, man. Oh, just contact you and I won't save them, but it should get them thinking about salvation. It should get them pricked in the way they live their life. The contact with you and I should make people different. Now, let me say this to you, brethren. A good witness can be ruined by foolish behavior. A good witness can be ruined by foolish behavior. Man, you can have a good witness and then go by foolish and wrong behavior, ruin that thing. You contacted that altar, whatever touched that altar became, it was holy. We ought to have an impact on people's lives that we touch. Ought to be a difference. Consecrated, brethren. Those priests were to be consecrated 7 days. Brethren, you and I are to be devoted to God 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, through all the years of your life. Has Jesus bought you with His blood? Has He redeemed you? I know He bought you with His blood. I know that. He bought with His blood everybody. But have you accepted that redemption? Have you allowed Him to redeem you? Have you accepted that salvation? If so, you belong to Him. And you're to be consecrated to Him 7 days a week. National Sunday, National Wednesday, 7 days a week. So that people come in contact with your life, it ought to be different. they'll leave your presence different, thinking about their soul. And this, brethren, this ought to be all through all the days of your life and my life. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, perform your purposes. Have your way. Have your will, Father. This morning.